Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 223 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, all about her DASH diet. You're wondering, aren't you? Well, hold that thought, and just know that this terrific show is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. Okay, out there in Her podcast land, here's your first official reminder to click on the iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. And this show is going to be so cool. You'll be licking your little fingers because it's all about how to make cool, awesome food. So we look forward to hearing from you. So this is your first reminder that we're going to be asking for that rate and review off iTunes. Yay. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Now, you know and I know that our go-to nutritional, she is just our nutritional expert. She's a culinary nutritionist. Her name is Chef Abby Gelman, and she's been on countless times to help you and yours figure out what the heck is going on with food and nutrition. Now we have exciting news. Da-da-da, drum roll. She has her first book. That's right. It's called The Mediterranean Dash Diet. Now, as you know, Chef Abby is a professionally trained chef and registered dietitian. Yeah, you get it all in one package. That's why she's called a culinary nutritionist. And she's got over 10 years of hospitality, food, and beverage consulting experience. And she also consults and helps people on a one-on-one or one-on-group basis. She's all over the place. And she's becoming quite the little national expert on all things, not only working with food, but educating about nutrition. Chef Abby, welcome back to the Her podcast.
Hi. All right. Thanks for having me again. I'm always happy to be here.
All right. So you wrote this book. Why? Tell us the background. Tell us the dirt on why you wrote this fabulous new cookbook, The Mediterranean Dash Diet, and what DASH stands for.
Well, this is kind of how I cook all the time. It's essentially a Mediterranean style of cooking, which we can talk about, and with an approach from the scientific angle called the DASH diet, which is essentially about lowering your blood pressure or hypertension. So a lot of people in the States have issues with, you know, they need to cut their sodium levels or work on different issues with high blood, you know, hypertension and all these other things. So I've kind of combined the deliciousness of the Mediterranean lifestyle with a little bit lower sodium lifestyle. And now we have a very robust and delicious range of foods to reach for and choose from on the regular.
All right. Now, why the Mediterranean end of this? I mean, I think we've heard about the DASH diet, but what's the Mediterranean twist on this?
Well, both of the diets were number one and number two rated in the U.S. News and World Report this year. Mediterranean actually kind of knocked DASH diet down to number two and took over the number one spot. And it's basically, if you think about all the countries that are over around the Mediterranean, so Greece, Spain, Turkey, Israel, Egypt, all of these countries really have a lot of flavor in all of their food. There's a lot of seafood. There's a lot of fruits and vegetables, and you're really looking at it as kind of a whole foods approach, and flavor is key. Simplicity is key, which goes hand in hand, really, with the DASH diet, because when you cook and do things kind of in their whole food approach closer to how they are in nature, it's better for us as humans. We react positively, physically, mentally. It's always better for us.
All right. Now, I know what's going on out there in the Herb podcast land because I must have ESP. They're all saying, huh, so how about keto? How about paleo? Why is this any better? Or, you know, what's the difference? And I'm so confused. So help us kind of work through that a little bit.
So my approach to eating, I prefer to have be a sustainable approach, something that you can do every day and not have it be overwhelming or stressful. And a lot of the trendy diets, like keto or paleo, there's a lot of rules. There's a lot of things you have to think about. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of things you're getting rid of, too. There's whole food groups in most cases that you're not even eating at all, which is you're losing out on valuable nutrients, vitamins, and minerals in some cases. And as a dietitian, from a science perspective, I prefer to have a well-rounded approach. So if you are on the keto, for example, you have a very, very low intake of carbohydrates, which can affect your brain function. And people feel sick, they feel like they have the flu, they feel sluggish, whereas something like the Mediterranean DASH diet, you're eating all the food groups. You might just be eating, 50% plants or 50 to 60% plants, and then a little bit of seafood or a little bit of other kind of animal protein, maybe a little yogurt and some dairy mixed in there, but it's not as stressful, and you're going to get all of the things that you need to feed your body and your mind and really your soul.
Well, it seems to me that paleo and keto also require you to eat a mountain of protein. What are the ups and downs of that?
So we all need protein, obviously, but what ends up happening is if you eat more protein than your body needs, it's going to convert it to whatever it needs it to function. So if you have enough of what you need to function, then that protein is going to get converted, and it can stay as fat on your body. Your body will store it as whatever it needs. So I know people are scared of carbs, but vegetables are carbohydrates. And fruit is carbohydrates. So having kind of a broader view of what it means, we should be eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. We're not, stay away from white processed flour, but certainly have some quinoa or some brown rice, have a piece of whole wheat pita or a piece of whole wheat bread, and then make your plate half, vegetables, maybe a little bit of something starchy and some animal protein, and you'll feel better. You'll perform better kind of overall if you're going to the gym or trying to get work done. You might feel less sluggish, all of these things. And there's tons of science-backed, evidence-based research that shows that the Mediterranean lifestyle is really beneficial for so many different disease states and preventative medicine.
Now, you said lifestyle. You didn't say nutrition. Yes. What did you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. So I feel like people get so overwhelmed by what is the calorie count? Am I allowed to eat this? And it becomes about being nitpicky, and they'll feel maybe shame, blame, and guilt because they ate something that somebody told them they shouldn't. But if you think about the Mediterranean lifestyle as a diet, as a lifestyle, so it involves maybe every once in a while you have a glass of wine. You eat dinner on a social level with your family and your friends, and you enjoy people's company as well as, eating food with other people. And it becomes a social occasion, and that helps us in numerous ways. Exercise is part of it. Getting good sleep is part of it. So it's really kind of an overall approach to health and wellness. It's not just focusing on you can eat this, you can't eat that, and kind of a which can be very overwhelming, I find, and doesn't necessarily work for most people in your day-to-day life.
Is it possible to grab a nutrition way of life from one culture and transport it to another? Does that really work? I've been asked that question a lot. When we see things like Mediterranean or even for that matter, you know, Asian fusion and this and that, tell us a little bit more about how we can make that Mediterranean type experience actually work here, where in the United States, nothing seems to work. It's a mess. It's a mess out there. And as I always say, it's a keto, paleo, rodeo. So tell us how you kind of look at doing that much more successfully.
Sure. Well, it's a bunch of different countries, first of all. So maybe one person likes Italian flavors, which could be tomatoes and basil. And maybe someone else prefers more like an Israeli or Egyptian style with a lot of cumin and coriander and things like hummus. So that's number one. You can kind of adopt the food choices that resonate with you. So I'm not going to say you have to eat hummus or you have to eat, pasta sauce with zucchini noodles, but whatever flavor profiles kind of resonate with you, that's your jumping off point. And then maybe as far as taking it to a simple level, there's a ton of seafood. So let's say you live somewhere where it's not difficult, where it is difficult to get seafood, or you don't want to cook it at home. One of the easiest things to do is buy a can of boneless, skinless salmon or a can of tuna. And you can add that to your meal, and it's a great way to get more seafood in your diet. It's cheap and it's easily and readily available. And as far as grains are usually a certain amount of that things that we eat in the Mediterranean diet. You can make a pot of quinoa or brown rice or farro. You know, you can experiment with all these new different grains that are coming, all these ancient grains. You make a pot one day a week, and then you have portions every day, and all you have to do is heat it up. So really trying to think about managing it in whatever way works best for you. And you can also buy them frozen. There's so many frozen grains, frozen fruit and vegetables. You don't have to spend hours cooking, and you can kind of adopt whatever fundamentals resonate with you and try to work them into the lifestyle that you have.
I love it. I love it. So really what you're doing is, you're actually pushing back on these, as it were, fads. I think one of the end goals for paleo and keto is to drop weight. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, isn't it about the dropping weight thing? You know, as I always say, I mean, it's the method by which you choose that will predict your long-term success. So, I mean, I can lock you in a closet and you'll drop a few. Not exactly the healthiest thing to do to your body, but what it is. But, let's talk about the end goal. What's the goal of this whole thing?
So, well, one of the things with keto and paleo before we jump to kind of the end goal is that a lot of people will only be able to do it for a certain amount of time. And then I see a lot of clients or patients or consumers just gain the weight back. Because once you flip the switch, it's really hard to maintain those lifestyles. So as far as Mediterranean, if you imagine a plate and half of it is full of tomatoes and zucchini and broccoli and, you know, like a whole myriad of roasted eggplant and all these different beautiful roasted vegetables. Maybe you have a little oil and vinegar on them. And then you have a piece of chicken or a piece of fish. And then you have baked potato, or maybe you have some rice. Like if you have a plate the size of what we know to be a normal plate size in the U.S., that's a pretty giant portion, and you're going to feel full. But it's because there's so much fiber in the vegetables, and there's some fat in the fish or the chicken, and some fiber and, you know, these great energy producing carbohydrates in the grain, for example, or if you have a potato, you'll be satisfied, you'll feel good, and your body will use those things wisely, and they're lean proteins, and they're not crazy as far as fat and protein loading, and you'll feel great for hours. But if you sit and have something that's keto, for example, that's mostly fat. So you might feel sluggish after that. That's a ton of calories. You might, you know, it's not going to give you the brain promotion. Like you're not going to feel energized after you sit and eat a bunch of, you know, bacon cheeseburger, for example, with no bread. And then maybe you have a side of more cheese and a fried egg. You know, it's all protein and fat.
Huh. Okay. So let's think about this for just a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about how someone then, you know, has to develop a mindset in which they've got to stop this whole thing about short-term goals, right? You know, drop a boatload of weight or whatever the issue may be, et cetera, when they really need to be looking at issues of longevity. But it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you work with someone when they're sitting right in front of you and they're saying, oh my God, you know, how am I ever going to make sense of all this, right?
So it's really a long-term game, right? And that's the problem with all these trends is you're yo-yo dieting, which we know is really bad if your body constantly is up 20 pounds, down 10 pounds, up 10 pounds, down 20 pounds. You're yo-yoing all over the place, and you can have all sorts of problems. So this is more of a long-term game. And if you really start eating a lot more fruits and vegetables as your first go-to, you will feel full, and it's not going to be as many calories and heavy foods just naturally. And then maybe one day, when I work with clients, I spend a lot of time saying, let's not get rid of stuff. What can we add first? So kind of baby steps, less overwhelming. So maybe you have a sandwich every day for lunch. So perhaps it's on white bread. Maybe your first step then would be to swap out one piece of white bread with one piece of wheat. So you kind of have half and half, and then maybe you add some avocado or add some kind of romaine or spinach to the sandwich. And that's week one. And then maybe week two, you get rid of the bread altogether, and the inside of the sandwich becomes chopped up, and you add a bunch of vegetables to it, and then suddenly you're having a chopped salad. And there could be meat and cheese in there. Maybe the third week you try a whole big bowl of different salad greens, but you add a little grain in there, and you put a can of tuna. Maybe that's one experiment for the week. But baby steps, so it's not overwhelming. And I know a lot of people are worried about not having enough food, that they're not going to feel full. Well, eat as many fruits and vegetables as you want. You know, like those are good for you. If you kind of think that you can have as many vegetables as you want, then at some point in time, it's self-limiting. You can't eat you can't eat 10 pounds of vegetables. You probably wouldn't make it that far. But those are certainly better to eat than a pound of cheese, for example.
So, you know, it's interesting, as I'm listening to you, what you're really asking someone to do is reframe everything they're reading in, you know, newspapers and whatever, because it's all kind of, you know, quick bling stuff. Do this real quickly, you know, and that type of thing. So, all right, now we're opening up your book. Woo, here we are. All right. Now, take our Herd podcast listeners through what it looks like and what are you offering in this wonderful book, The Mediterranean Dash Diet.
Sure. Well, it's 100 recipes, and in that portion, my whole thing is not to be overwhelmed. I know that a lot of people aren't comfortable in the kitchen, so the focus really is how can we make things simple and not overwhelming and really get people even to just step in the kitchen and try out a few different things. So a lot of the recipes in here have less than 10 ingredients. And they take, 30 minutes or less. So, and they give you some basic things that you'll want to come back to again and again. So I have, for example, roasted harissa carrots. Some people think carrots are boring. So what can you do to them to jazz them up a little bit that's simple and easy that will make people want to eat them and they'll be good for you. Obviously carrots are good for you, but do it in a way that people will enjoy. So it's just roasted carrots mixed with harissa, which is a Mediterranean red pepper paste, and you can get it from spicy to not spicy. And just adding that one ingredient adds something different and special, but you're still getting all the wonderful benefits of eating that vegetable. I have in here a bunch of sides that are like that. Very simple sauteed kale, but you add a little tomato or garlic to make it special. There's a ton of seafood, and I know people have some nervousness around cooking seafood, so I've tried to make that very simple. I have, for example, a tuna niçoise salad, and you just need a can of tuna. Or I've got some basic shrimp dishes that don't take very long to cook, and you just need a couple of things chopped up and you saute everything together. We've got some great vegetarian dishes in there as well. Everything, across the board, from gazpacho soup to roasted cauliflower salad.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I can handle this any further. This is killing me. I could just imagine. And I've had the pleasure of dining with you, and I can only tell you out there in her podcast land, you're talking about the best. I mean, the total absolute best. That's all I can say.
Thank you.
So now, when is this wonderful book available? When can we get our little fingers on this?
You can pre-order it now on Amazon.com. Just Google Mediterranean Dash Diet or my name, Abby Gelman. And it will come out. You'll get your hot little hands on an actual hard copy on November 12th. And it's also available as a download starting a couple weeks before November 12th.
November 12th. Is that the big day?
That's the big day. Oh my gosh.
She's dropping her book. Yes. Oh my gosh. So get the book now, for crying out loud. Will you? Please, please, please. All right. We're talking to culinary nutritionist Chef Abby Gelman. She's our chef, and a nutrition expert, all things healthy and marvelous for your longevity. And oh, by the way, you'll also drop a few in just the right places. You know how that goes. So how are we going to hear more about the book? Okay, The Mediterranean Dash Diet. And you could run on over to Amazon, learn more about it, or run on over to Culinary Nutrition Cuisine, culinarynutritioncuisine.com. And that's her wonderful website. And we also have social media. We've got everything here. Share your Twitter handle and also your Facebook.
It's at CNC_Abby, which is ABBIE. And that's Instagram and Twitter. And then Facebook is at Culinary Nutrition Cuisine.
Yay. Okay. And that's how you're going to learn right. about it. Okay. Don't be a loser. Run on out there and grab the Mediterranean Dash Diet. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. And you just may see a little testimonial or two from me. I'm just saying, just throwing it out there for all of you. Chef Abby, once again, thank you so much for being on the Herb Podcast.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, just remember, after that book comes out, you know we're going to be circling back for you to explain all of those recipes. So just gear up and get ready, okay?
You got it. You got it.
And everyone out there now, just take a minute and hit iTunes and rate and review this show because I want to know what you're thinking about it. And you better be ordering that book right now. You heard that. That's a command. Why does that work? Well, it's because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm the host of the Herb Podcast, and I just told you what to do. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD, and remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and hey, stay well.